Metro Girl, Janet Ivanovich. Hooker was sitting on the side of the boat, eating a granola bar. He looked at me, and his eyes got wide and his mouth dropped open. "What?" I said. "All right, so I know," I tinkled on my sneaker. "It's not easy doing this when you're a girl." He dropped the granola bar on the ground and reached for an oar.
"Honey, I don't want you to panic, but you've got something in your hair."
I rolled my eyes up, trying to see through my skull, and reached for the top of my head.
"Nope, don't touch it," Hooker said. "Don't move. Stand perfectly still."
"What is it?"
"You don't want to know."
"What are you going to do with the oar?"
"I'm going to flick it off."
"Why don't you use your hand?"
"What are you, nuts? That's the biggest effing spider I've ever seen. That mofo is the size of a dinner plate. I don't know how it's even staying on your head."
"Spider?" And I started screaming and doing the yucky dance. "Get it off, get it off, get it off, get it off!" Everything went cobwebby, and I fainted.
When I came around, Hooker was bending over me, looking worried.
"What happened?" I asked him.
"You fainted. You were screaming, and then your eyes rolled back, and you went like crash."
"I never faint. You probably hit me with the oar and knocked me out."
"Honey bunch, if I hit you with the oar, you'd still have your eyes closed."
Love Me Back, Merritt Tierce. He lights the candles and then closes the door to the hall. "Take off your shoes," he whispers. I take them off and put them next to his. He pulls back a corner of the sleeping bag and motions for me to get in. Then he gets into the sleeping bag too and zips it up all the way. "Hey, little spoon," he says, embracing me. I have never felt so whole or safe or known since. "This should warm you up fast," he says. "Body heat." He kisses my neck. "Did you follow me through the gateway into the blizzard?" I whisper.
"Yes, Avienda of the Isle," he says, playing along.
We have both been reading Robert Jordan's Wheel of Time series. I roll over on top of him. "Rand Althor," I say into his neck, "what's your plan for getting us back?"
"I don't have one," he says.
We wake together when we hear noise in the kitchen on the other side of the wall. He looks at his watch.
6:47,
he whispers.
"Hurry!"
We fumble quietly out of the sleeping bag. I put on my shoes and kiss him and put my ear to the door. I don't hear my whole life being written for me inside my body, cell by cell. Black Notice, Patricia Cornwell. Richmond Police Captain Pete Marino and I had known each other for so long, it sometimes seemed we were inside each other's heads. So it really came as no surprise when he called me before I had a chance to track him down.
"You sound really stopped up," he said to me. "You got a cold?"
"No," I said. "I'm glad you called because I was getting ready to call you."
"Oh, yeah?"
I could tell he was smoking in either his truck or police car. Both had two-way radios and scanners. At this moment, we're making a lot of noise. "Where are you?" I asked him.
"Cruising around, listening to the scanner," he said, as if he had the top down and was having a wonderful day. "Counting the hours till retirement. Ain't life grand? Nothing missing but the bluebird of happiness."
His sarcasm could have shred paper. "What in the world's wrong with you?" I said.
"I'm assuming you know about the ripe one they just found at the Port of Richmond,"
he replied.
"People puking all over the place is what I hear. Just glad it ain't my fucking problem."
My mind wouldn't work. I didn't know what he was talking about. Call waiting was clicking.
I switched the cordless phone to the other ear as I walked into my study and pulled out a chair at the desk.
"What ripe one?" I asked him.
"Marino, hold on," I said as call waiting tried again.
"Let me see who this is. Don't go away."
These narrative excerpts were performed by C.J. Critt at Reel to Reel Studios, produced and directed by David Buell.